clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit unto me. Church, this is what God is asking for in our giving. God is asking us to come to Him and ask Him for a clean heart. Because when we have a clean heart, everything about giving changes. Doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily give more in quantity, but you're going to learn to give for the right reasons. When we have a clean heart, God automatically puts in our heart what's right and what's wrong. It comes natural. I remember one guy saying to me one day, he said, "Well, Brad," he said, "didn't you used to smoke?" I said, "Yes." "Well, how come don't you now?" I said, "Because God took it away from me. I still smoke as much as I want, but God took away the want." That is the value of the clean heart that God wants to instill into you this morning. If that's something that you struggle with, there's something in your life you struggle with, God is able. God is absolutely able. He wants to instill into us a clean heart. We won't have to ask God, "Do I really need to tithe?" No, you won't need to ask Him. Because a clean heart, you will know automatically what God is expecting of you. You won't have to ask, "Do I really need to support missions?" You won't need to ask that. Because you'll know in your heart what God wants you to do. You'll know automatically. And the best part of it is, you'll give because you want to give. You'll give because it feels good. It'll be something that is beyond anything that this world can offer. So this morning, I would like you, if you will, to pray with me that God would give us that clean heart. But I'm going to do it a little bit different than I love music. So I'm going to ask them to bring up this song. And I'd like you to sing this song as they play it, because all of you know it. It's Psalms 51. Can you stand and sing with me this morning?
Away from Thy presence, O Lord. ushers come up.
Was great, Brad. Thank you so much. I know. I epically failed at the end there, but the Holy Spirit was still present with us. God's not so fragile that he can't handle it when we can't put the screen up smoothly, guys. Thank you, Brad. We just appreciate you so much. Thank you. That's such a good message. Oh, praise God. This is a good day. I'm going to share something that a passage that's always been super dear to my heart. And probably since I was in high school, I have been drawn to Matthew chapter 25 and read it over and over again throughout the years. It's one of those passages that speaks to me over and over and over again. And I found myself praying it a lot lately. And so I'm just going to share on that this morning. If you need a bulletin, if you need notes, really in the notes is really just the scripture we're going to talk about today, and then a space to take your own personal notes. If that's something you need, you can raise your hand. An usher can grab a bulletin for you if you need one. You know, the Holy Spirit, I feel like he spoke to me something, and what he spoke to me was throughout history, God has always looked for people of oil to partner with. People full of the Holy Spirit, oily people. It's going to make sense as soon as you read the scripture. Actually, I asked Chad, I said, at the end, can you come up and can you do some worship for us? And he's like, anything in particular? I said, just something oily. I was just like, he's tracking with me immediately. I'm going to just dive in. Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is where it starts out, Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's at the temple, beautiful building, a beautiful structure. The Jews are really proud of their temple, of course. It was lovely. It was beautiful. And the disciples are like, oh my goodness, look at these buildings. Look at it. And you know, if any of you are into architecture, maybe you went somewhere other than South Dakota where you saw some really cool buildings. Like maybe you toured Europe and like every corner you're like, look at that building. Here's another 1,000-year-old church. I mean, everywhere you look, there's something interesting. Well, that is kind of what's happening here. The disciples are like, Jesus, look at the temple. Like, look at this building. And Jesus just turns to him and kind of feels out of the blue. He says, there's going to be a day that not one stone is standing on top of another. And then that spurs the disciples to ask this question, tell us, Lord, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And that question leaps Jesus into the Mount Olivet discourse, we call it, into the rest of chapter 24 and 25, where he begins to tell them, like, what kind of is going to be taking place over in human history that's going to be leading up to his return. And he talks about the political climate. Some of these things he talks about are things that have been happening all through human history, like wars, rumors of wars. Even says there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars. Don't be, you know, take heart, this just has to happen. This is how it's going to be, right? And he talks about the social climate as the return of the Lord approaches, what it's going to be like socially. What's it going to be like spiritually? It's going to get hot. It's going to get heated, right? He talks about natural disasters that are going to start coming upon the earth and how things are going to get pretty tense, heated. Christians are going to be hated. The enemy has been stirring up hatred for Christians and Jews since our birth. And so he talks about this. And then in the midst of this, then he goes into chapter 25. Of course, you know, Jesus didn't speak in chapters. It's just one. He's just talking. And then we put the chapters and the verses in there. And then he goes right into like, okay, I told you guys all this stuff that's going to happen. This is the storm that's going to be raging and building prior to my return. Now, let me tell you some parables. And then he goes into like three parables in chapter 25 to basically says, he says, then the kingdom of heaven is going to be like this. And so we're going to take that first parable of the 10 virgins in chapter Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And we're going to talk about it right now. But basically, this parable is a parable to help us prepare. Everyone say prepare. Now, whether Jesus' return is what we would call soon, like let's say 5, 10 years away, or whether it's 50 years or whether it's 100 years, he's telling us prepare now. This word is for every generation. I mean, I actually think that we're really in the birth pains leading up to something. But no matter how far away you think this thing is, this scripture applies to us right now. He says, be wise and prepare. How many of you have ever endured a storm in your life? Well, we had quite a storm just a couple weeks ago while we were in Kansas City. I was glad we had a roof. Not everybody in town had a roof. I noticed Aroma lost their window, their front window. How about when the storms of life come upon you? Sometimes you don't have warning, do you? Bad diagnosis comes from a doctor, a car accident. You lose your job. All of a sudden, someone in very close relationship with you seems to lose their mind, and it affects you greatly because they're acting so poorly. Storms come. But let me tell you, the Lord is saying storms are going to come on the entire earth. They are here even now. And I want you to be a people who knows how to thrive in the middle of a storm. And so he tells this parable. At that time, at the time of this, all these great trials, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. I want to point out, like, they're all virgins. I actually think, like, everyone in this parable is, like, supposed to be born again. So it's not like 5 harlots and 5 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. I think he's talking to the church, the redeemed, those that are born again. It says, 10 virgins took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. The Amplified version, I love it. Amplified gives you descriptions of everything. It says foolish, meaning thoughtless, careless, silly. And 5 were wise. They had foresight, practical. They were sensible. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any extra oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. They had extra oil. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." You do understand, like, everyone had a lamp. Everyone had oil in their lamp. But only 5 had extra oil in their lamp. It took a lot of foresight to plan, maybe the bridegroom's not going to return as soon as I thought he was going to return. I better get some extra oil. It took preparedness, didn't it? It took some foresight. I don't think barely hanging on is quite good enough in this moment. I think I better bring some extra oil. So they woke up. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet and shut the door. And later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So this thing, this oil that we're talking about, it's what keeps us burning on the inside and shining on the outside. It's the million-dollar question here. What is the oil, right? What is this oil? How do I prepare to go through any season, every season of life, and to always be ready to partner with the Lord? Always be ready and waiting for him. A vibrant, deep relationship with God. Oil is the reality of what is happening on the inside of you with the Holy Spirit. That's your oil. It's what keeps you burning. You guys know it when you're burning, and you know it when you're not. If you're truthful with yourself, if you're being self-aware at all, you know when your heart is burning for Jesus and when you're coasting. So I want to break it down a few things that oil looks like. Because I have been praying this prayer throughout my days. Oh, God, give me oil. Give me oil. Give me oil. Give me oil. I have this picture of the Lord burrowing out a well inside of me. You know when you want to go deep for oil? When you're going to drill for oil and you're going to drill a well, that the oil is going to begin to spring up and just continually flow. There's some digging that happens. And I think when we come before the Lord and we say, God, take me deep. Like he's like, okay, I'm going to do some digging now. It might be a little painful, actually. I'm going to dig out a well in you so you can hold the oil. It's called dying to yourself. It's called seeking his face. What does this oil look like? Number one, it's the oil of intimacy. This is where our relationship with the three-in-one God moves beyond our head and is enveloped our heart. It's where we know the indwelling Holy Spirit as the actual one who is our counselor, the one who's our comforter, the one who is the spirit of wisdom inside, our guide. It's where we personally know God as perfect daddy father. The oil of intimacy is where we come face to face with Jesus and realize he's a bridegroom lover and a coming king, reigning king, and the savior. The oil of intimacy, this is when you're like, am I flowing with the oil of intimacy? Ask yourself this. When it's just you and God and your Bible in a room by yourself, are you bored? We have to start getting real with our own self. Like sometimes we know the message of the gospel so well, and we could teach it to Sunday school classes, and we read the stories to our kiddos, and we know the story, we know the right answers, right? I used to be a children's pastor, and you know, every time you ask the little kids anything, what's the right answer? Jesus. It's always the right answer, Jesus. Sometimes we can get so we know the right answer so much, we don't step back and say, how's the oil of intimacy flowing right now? When it's you and the Holy Spirit and your Bible in a room for 2 hours, is that the best part of your day or are you bored? Now, if you're bored, I'm not trying to condemn you today. It's just reality check, right? It's time to get the oil of intimacy flowing. When Jeff and I go through some busy seasons, maybe we're traveling a little bit, on the road, you know, whatever, and it'd be 2 days away even, and we'll be coming home and just like, oh, I just got to get my office, my chair, and my Bible. just get me to the house so I can get alone with the Lord. Like, I love this about him. Plus, he's an introvert, so he loves shut that door, get in there and shut himself away with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, his Bible, and a flowing heart. Good job. You lead in that, babe. Totally lead our family in that. The context of what, when Jesus is talking about, you got to get your oil. The context is there's trials and troubles coming. They're here for many of us, but they're coming on the whole earth in an unprecedented way. In a way we've never experienced. It's hard for us to imagine living through something we've never lived through, right? But let me tell you, the wise man would say, your whole world can change in a day. You better have some oil on the inside. Because when the Lord appears and wants to find someone to partner with, I want to be on the front row. You're always here, Dustin. I love you. On the front row going, pick me! I've been getting some oil, Jesus! Pick me! I'm ready! I'm your revival girl! I want to be here with you in the harvest! Anyone else feel that? And when the storms break in, this is a reality, when the storms break in, the oil you have is the oil you have. Have you ever been, like, suddenly in the middle of a crisis, an unexpected crisis, and you're like, whoa, I wish I would have been a little more prepared for that? Guess what? When you find yourself in immediately just thrown into a crisis, that's not usually your moment where you're like, oh, man, I wish I could get away on a retreat for a couple days with the Lord and kind of get the word of God. I really need it right now. And you're like, instead, you're stuck in a hospital and you got someone dying. And you're like, I mean, that's when crisis comes, when storms come, the oil you have is the oil you have. Now, God's merciful. These guys went and eventually bought some more. But what the delay, what they missed out on. They weren't in there in the banquet with the Lord. They were out trying to survive, get some more oil for their lamp. This is a parable about prepare now. Get a deep well. Get the oil of intimacy flowing. Number two, if you're taking notes, what is this oil? Oil is the substance of your personal history with God. Each of you that are in Christ, each of you that are born again, you have a history with the Lord. And this is the truth. You can be saved, born again in the church for 50 years and have very little history with God. And some of you, you can have been on this faith journey for 6 months and have an unbelievable amount of history already with God. Because history comes with radical obedience to his word. That's how you gain history. Through being faithful to show up, first of all, just faithful in the mundane, on the mountain and in the valley, we're going to show up, Lord. I'm going to show up for my time with you. I'm going to show up in obedience. I'm going to show up in love to the best of my ability. I'm not letting go of you. I'm not leaving you. There's that faithfulness. And then there's this aspect of laying down your life over and over and over again in radical obedience. That's why someone who's really doesn't know that much of the Bible and has only been saved for a very short time can have a root system in God that is incredibly strong. I want to encourage any of you who are new believers. You feel like I've just started this journey. You can get a history with God like that if you'll just enter into, I'm going to obey him every time he speaks. Isn't that encouraging? That means that some of you, you've been living a really comfortable Christian life. And if you're real with yourself, maybe you're like, I don't know what kind of foundation I really have. Guess what? Repent. Repent today. And you could start building that root system that you need. Good to see you, Chase. Good to see you, Danny. They were at the Send with us. I got to pause. Chase is Chase is just a couple weeks old in Christ, right? I mean, came to the Lord a couple weeks ago. Can you just wave? I don't want to embarrass you, Chase, but actually I'm just super proud of you. And Chase is a musician, along with another famous musician in the room that we love. And he's started putting out Christian songs already. And I got one sent to me, Chase. I got to the one with Billy Graham at the end. Holy smokes, they're so good. Just singing his testimony. Yeah. Keep doing it. Keep writing. Keep writing for Jesus. Wow. That was a good little commercial, wasn't it? Good break. I love people coming to Jesus. Isn't that good? There's nothing worth celebrating more than that. Woo! I love it. Let me talk about your history with God. Your history with the Lord is like the root system of a tree. The longer you serve him, the longer you're faithful to him, the more you are like, I am going to be committed. I'm going to obey no matter what the cost. It's like every decision you make in faithful obedience to the Lord is like another 2 feet on those roots that go down. We get to choose how deep the roots go by simple obedience to God every single day. The opposite is true too, though. We can live a pretty comfortable life, right? And maybe things look pretty good on the outside, and we don't even realize those roots are like 1 foot deep. Right on the surface. And then a storm comes like 2 weeks ago with 90-mile-an-hour winds, and what happens? We had some friends when we first moved to Huron. A young couple bought first-time homebuyers, bought a new house, and the previous owners had planted a tree. The tree was 2 years old, okay, in the front yard. And these previous homeowners had kept, you know these people, perfect grass, watered it daily. It was so thick, so green. I swear, never had a dandelion. It was like they lived for their yard. They were, you know, those kind of amazing people. Oh my goodness, we got a dog and our yard is destroyed. Oh my goodness, that puppy. I got craters in my backyard. Anyway, I'm mourning my grass. But this grass was gorgeous. Well, they moved into this house and first year, I don't know why they did this. He went up to the tree. It's 2 years old, the tree is. He takes a hold of the tree and he pulls it out completely out of the ground like this. I sometimes can't pull a tree, a new tree sprouted up in my garden that's 2 months old. I sometimes cannot pull it out if that taproot, you know, has really gotten down underneath there. And we're talking a 2-year-old tree. The previous owners had watered it so much, it never got a root system. The roots never had a reason to leave the surface. That is not how you want to be. Get the oil that comes from a history in God. See, now is the season to conquer your fears. Don't wait till the storm is hit and you're overcome with fear. If you're afraid to share your faith, face it now. Be bold now. Now is the time to get the root system. Now is the time to start forgiving your enemies. Read Matthew chapter 24. It says, in those days, everyone is going to hate you. And the betrayal culture is going to go through the roof. Where Jesus literally says that even mothers and fathers will be betraying their children and sons and daughters their parents. And we're talking about a really scary day. Face your fears now. Don't wait till that moment. Practice forgiving and the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle now. Are you bitter towards our government? Spit out that bitter gall. Get it out of your mouth. Don't keep chewing it. I don't think our government's going to get better. I mean, I just, God bless them. I just love them all, and I'm just not going to criticize them. I'm just saying, I don't think the next election's going to fix our nation. So don't allow a bitter root to be inside of you, because let me tell you, that thing will keep the oil of intimacy from flowing. And if you have reason to be bitter now, what about when the whole world's engulfed in chaos, right? We have to practice something now. We prepare our hearts now by leaning into the Word of God in radical ways. We live a life of generosity now in the season of abundance, so we can give it all in the season of leanness. I get so encouraged when I read the lives of the persecuted church. I think that we can grow in so much strength by knowing the stories of what our brothers and sisters have went through in the past through persecution and what they're going through now. And I remember reading the story of Richard Wurmbrand, tortured for Christ. And he tells about how they were in a Soviet prison for 7 years, tortured. It was horrendous. And how he and the other prisoners, they would get like one bun a day, and that they would tithe a tenth of it. They would break off one tenth of it and give it to another prisoner. What? You're starving. Guess what? That's a man who has oil on his life. And he knew how to be generous before he ever got into prison. He knew how to love before he ever got into a place where he was being tortured for his faith. He had a history with the Lord. I can't tell you the wisdom in having this oil called a history with God. There's a few areas that God's insisted on us especially trusting him in. Ever since we were married, the Lord has insisted that we look to him as our provider. He's insisted upon it. It's been like a unique journey. I mean, I want everyone to trust the Lord, but I know there was something unique the Lord was doing in our life in the early years. When I hated how poor we were, we were married at 19 and 20, and we were still going to Bible school. We were full-time students. You know, I mean, we just were scraping by like little church mice. But blessed, always cared for. And in those seasons, and still in those seasons, the Lord was teaching us and giving us a root system in something extremely important. Autumn, I'm your provider. Because the truth is, the fear of lack would trip me up and cause me to make very disastrous decisions in my young years, even through high school. I made some very poor decisions because I was afraid I wasn't going to have enough money, enough whatever. And the Lord was burning that thing out of me, purposely putting me in situations where he's like, I want to be your provider. Now cry out to me, I'm going to give it to you. And of course, it would be in fear. Oh God, we don't have the money to fix the car. You know, the alternator cost $70 back then. That's actually was the price of that bill. I remember it. I was like, it might as well be $1 million. We don't have it. And we didn't own a credit card. You know, we were cash only. We lived on $500 a month in those early years. I mean, it was like crazy how we lived, but we always paid every bill. I mean, God's grace and mercy on us, right? And those were the years where God was laying a foundation, a root system for something that we would stand on for the rest of our life. Autumn, who is your provider? You are so self-sufficient. You are so capable in your own self. I have to burn this thing out of you. He knew I was so ambitious, capable of figuring out a way for myself. That thing was going to cripple my ministry in life forever. If I was always limited to what I could do for myself. I grew up on a farm. This girl knew how to work. My dad said he was an equal opportunity employer. His daughter was going to work as hard as his sons. He said it out of his mouth more times than I could ever count. Here's the shovel. There's the pig pen. There I went. There's the tractor. 12 hours later, 14 hours later, there I was. You know, while that is a strength, that was a crippling weakness in my life. And God wanted me to know him as my provider, the one that could do for me better than I could do for myself, so that I could live beyond my own abilities. It's the oil of a history with God. So here I was young, I don't know, 19 years old. I had one purse. I had a purse, a little purse. Nothing special. Someone gave it to me, and I think it was a Walmart purse. But I accidentally got paint all over it. I was painting our little trailer house, little newlyweds. We had a little single-wide trailer house that we were redoing and making just awesome. I loved it. It was great. A lot of mice. But anyway, I accidentally painted. The purse was nothing special. I didn't really care about a purse, but I did actually feel embarrassed after that because there was paint all over it. And I was like, Lord, up to that point, I promise you, I had never bought a purse for myself my entire life. To this day, I've only bought a couple purses in my existence, a couple purses. So I was like, Jeff's like, go buy yourself a purse. I'm like, I would never spend money on a purse. Are you kidding? We need milk. I knew I wasn't going to do it, but I pray this prayer. Lord, I really like a different purse. I walk into church. Nobody knows I prayed that prayer. That's not something that you share with the Bible study. Honestly, it was not consuming my thoughts. It wasn't something that was making me unhappy in life. It was just like, oh, this is kind of an embarrassing purse. I go to church the next Sunday, and this the most stylish, cutest lady in the church. Oh, my goodness, she's a cutie pie. She was a hairstylist. Aren't they a little cutting edge, right? They're always the cool girls, the hairstylist. She's the hairstylist. She owned her own business. She was just great. She walks up to me, and she says, I was cleaning out my closet this weekend, and I found this purse, and I felt like I was supposed to give it to you. And then she goes on to tell me, it's a Dooney and Burke. Of course, I grew up on a farm. I don't even know brands of anything, okay? And I was like, oh, nice. She goes, it has a lifetime warranty. And she hands me the certificate for the lifetime warranty of the purse. I was like, oh, I love it. Thank you. It's so cute. What I didn't know is like everywhere I went from that point forward, people were like, oh, you have a Dooney and Burke. I said, well, yes, I do. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know this brand existed, but yes, I have one. God is such a provider. I mean, I know this is little guys, but every one of those types of stories in your life becomes like a rock in the foundation which you're going to stand on. He cares about your purse. And he also cares about your rent. And he also cares about your ministry that he's giving you. Because stories like that, I remember one time we only had enough gas to get to church. We didn't have enough gas to come home. I think Jeff recently told this story even. And we served at a little country church all the way through Bible school. It was 30 miles away. So that's, you know, that's a lot of miles. And it was a church that they had service all the time, okay? They were having guests in. And, I mean, we had service 3 to 5 nights a week, okay? And so one of our favorite, like, traveling evangelists was in doing services that week. And we're like, oh, we really want to go. We really, really want to go. I really want to go. And we like looked at each other and we're like, we only have enough gas to get there. Zero money. Like now when I have zero money, it kind of like shakes me. At the time it was like, well, yeah, we'll get more money in a week. We just have zero money. No big deal. And we looked at each other and for some reason we say this, let's just go anyway. I think God will take care of it. And we just like, because we just wanted to be in God's presence. So we drive the 30 miles. We have this just amazing church service, spent time at the altar, loving on the Lord. And we're literally on our way out to the car that's on empty. We forget we have no gas and no money to get home. Literally, we forgot. We were just having so much fun with the Lord. And carefree. No wonder my parents were kind of worried about us in those beginning years. Oh, are you okay? Yeah, we're fine. I remember my mom, my dad saying, I think you should get on food stamps. I'm like, those are for poor people. What do you mean? No shame if you're on food stamps. It was just like my mentality. I'm like, we're not poor. We're fine. We have ramen, all the ramen we want. So anyway, we were leaving the church to go out to the car. And the guest speaker was shaking hands at the door. And we were like, oh, it was a great message. And he shook our hand. And we call it a Pentecostal handshake. Can I shake my hand? When he gives you money. There was money. And he was like $20. And I was like, oh, cool. I forgot we were out of gas. That's great. Thank you. Went, filled up the car, went home. I think sometimes we really overcomplicate our walk with the Lord. He's your provider, he's your provider, he's your provider. I'm illustrating this particular, because this has been a really huge one for us. But you know, God began to ask us to believe him for bigger things and bigger things and bigger things. And then it was missions trips we had no money for, and take your whole family this next time, Autumn. I want you to take your kids with you. This is their inheritance. And it was like believing God for tens of thousands of dollars personally that we did not have, publishing books. What he was doing at 18, 19, and 20, he was putting the oil called a history with God into our family so we could move with him in every season. Perfectly, no way, but at least I know where I'm supposed to stand. Right? I can feel when I've got the oil flowing and when I've stopped it up. I know when I have it flowing. You guys, he wants you to have an abundance of oil called your personal history with God. You got to know his promises. Get in the word. What has he promised you? Believe him for something that you can't do in your own strength. We got a bunch of people going to the mission field in our church. Not a bunch, a couple. A few. Woo, I love it. And when they're like, well, I have to have this, this, and this happen so I can afford it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good for you. This is going to be so good for you. God's going to provide. He's going to provide for you in the fearful moments when you don't know how. He's going to provide, and you're going to get a history with him out of this. You can't put a price tag on your history with God. Because when we planted this church and we went through lean times, guess what? We had a lifetime of history where God always paid the bills. Right? And it keeps you from running out and birthing an Ishmael in your flesh because you're like, no, 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 no. I'm going to stay in the spirit and in a place of faith because God's my provider. Your history. A history with God includes the history of overcoming sin. Do you know that's part of your history? Oh, it's a huge part of your history. How many of you have ever had to overcome a sin? Only if you're saved. Oh, we only have like one, two people that know the Lord in here. How many have ever had to overcome a sin? A couple more truthful people. We're going to pray for the liars later. Jeff pointed out, we were talking about this message earlier, and Jeff pointed out that in the book of Revelation, there's four predominant sins that are going to like engulf the earth: sexual immorality, idolatry, theft, and murder. Isn't that interesting? Let's overcome, friends. Practice overcoming sexual immorality now. Guard your eyes. Don't look at that sight. Guard your thoughts. Capture it when it's here, not when it's in motion and in action in your life. Wage war on it. You have the Holy Spirit. Literally, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside me and you. There is no sin that can stand against the Spirit of God indwelling inside of you. You got to decide you want to get rid of it, though. You'll never get rid of something you love. You won't do it. So sexual immorality, idolatry, what is that? It's anything that comes between you and your God. Anything. Our jobs, our ambitions, even our families can become idols, right? Our money, our comfortableness, just wanting to feel secure. But the Lord is laying his finger on these things in his people's lives because he wants you to get a history with him of overcoming all things that exalt itself against the name of the Lord in your life. And then there's theft. What is theft? Theft is when greed and covetousness manifests, right? When the desire for something that you don't have, I just want more, I just want more, I just want more. When that thing comes to fruition, it's thievery. It's, well, if I can't get it myself, I'll take it. I think actually this is a huge one for many of us, right? Being content is just so godly. What God gives you is good. And what's the last one? Murder. And what is murder? Murder is the full manifestation of anger. It's the full manifestation of rage, of bitterness, of jealousy, but of bitterness and anger especially. The Lord is helping his people overcome now and get the oil of a history with God so that we can be wise in the day of shaking, so we can be the ones that can partner with him to bring in the harvest, partner with him to bring other people to Christ, partner with him in obedience in the moment when it's most needed. Praise the Lord. Hey, Jeff, do you have anything to share?
Yeah, I would just encourage you to, read. This is what's helped me over the years, just prepare my own heart. Like, Lord, how can I prepare my heart to go through these types of trials and not only survive, but thrive? And so I would encourage you, read Matthew 24 on your own and just meditate on it and pray through it. And just asking the question, like, if I were living in the conditions described by Jesus in this passage, what would it look like to be victorious in the midst of these conditions? And then just journal and write it down. And then I would encourage you to do this. Read the rest of the New Testament in the Bible. And they went through stuff sort of similar to this. persecution and that kind of thing. And they went through it well. How did Jesus prepare his heart to go through it? How did the apostles go through it and prepare their hearts? What does it look like when they went through it victoriously? And then I would encourage you this, lastly, is to read the stories of the persecuted church around the world, like throughout history and right now, because there's so many wonderful, really good, well-written books and stories of believers, like modern day, and as well as, you know, in the last couple thousand years, who have gone through like really hard trials and persecution and have loved the Lord so well and loved people so well. And they kept their passion burning on the inside and their witness of Jesus shining brightly on the outside through the midst of very, very, very difficult trials. And so one thing that's helped me is just reading the stories of Jesus, the apostles in the Bible, but also those my brothers and sisters throughout history who have done it well. Because when I read them, I'm like, okay, when I go through that, I want to go through it like that person did. You know what I mean? I want to do what they did when I'm in that situation. And I think that helps, is just preparing your mind with a clear vision. What does victory look like in those circumstances? And then when you get that picture, then you turn it into prayer. God, do that in my heart. If I were in that situation right now, would I have done what that person did? I don't know if I would have, Lord. I think I would have done the opposite in my flesh. And then that's that, Lord, change my heart. Like, Lord, get my heart ready so that I would respond like this. And then what happens as you're in that conversation with the Lord in life, little trials are going to pop up that work, that muscle you're praying for. But it'd be way smaller than what they went through. But it'd be the same muscle. And then you'll have an opportunity to work that muscle and to practice it like they did in your circumstance. And then you grow in those things. So when you get into the bigger trials, you're not working a muscle for the first time.
That's great. I love that. I also think, I think about when we are preparing to walk through trials with the oil of intimacy in our life. We want to have a full life. I think we should, many of us, I think you should look at how you reacted to 2020. I think 2020 was like this little, I mean, it felt big at the time, right? I mean, like the whole world got shut down. We couldn't fly. We couldn't meet for a while. But how did your heart react in that? What were some of the things you dealt with? And visit those things with the Lord. Were you in extreme fear? Did you go through anxiety? I'm not saying there's any shame if you did. It was actually scary. Especially, I mean, we lost some people that were very close to us in the city through that time. And then they were estimating millions more, actually. You know, I mean, I'm praise God that the amount of people that they thought would die didn't. I'm so glad. Still, there was a season of loss. It was a season of unknown. It was a season of pressure. If you owned a business, it was like, or you were a manager of some sort, or Jeff and I, like as leaders, like you almost couldn't do right. I mean, it was a season where you had to lean on the Lord and look to the Lord for guidance because you were never going to make everyone happy, period. Someone was going to be very unhappy with you, very unhappy. But what were some of your reactions in 2020? Were you excessively angry at the government? Were you excessively angry at brothers and sisters in Christ who had different thoughts than you? I'm just saying, I think it was a little dress rehearsal, a little mini trial for more trials that are coming on the earth. And we can learn from them. We can learn and go, you know, I'm really praying that the next time I have to go through a 2020, I have more peace. I learned a few things. I fell on my face. Praise God. We did that right, right? And God brought increase to our church through it. I mean, God was so gracious to us in 2020 as a body. So gracious. So faithful. We don't want to forget his faithfulness to us and the lessons he teaches us in the trials of the past that will prepare us to go through more in the future and to go through it with oil. Why don't you stand up right now? And if we could have the worship team or Chad come. I want to read Luke chapter 12 to you. Verse 35, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning. Keep your heart on fire, right? As though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. Isn't that cool? And it's like in the parable of the 10 virgins who had the oil, the five who were wise, who said, I'm going to prepare and take extra oil. Like a little bit of fellowship with Christ isn't enough. I ought to have more. I want more. I want more. I want more. They were rewarded, weren't they? They were the first to go into the banquet with the Lord. There was a reward for them. Let's go ahead and close our eyes right now. Worship team, you can just start whenever you're ready. Lord, we love you. We ask that you would help us, Lord. That you would help us to live wise lives full of the oil of intimacy. That we would know you, Holy Spirit. We would know you, Holy Spirit, as our guide and our counselor and the one who leads us into all truth and leads us to Jesus. that we would know you, God, as Father, as Daddy, as Provider, that we would know you, Jesus, as our Bridegroom, King, our Savior. Lord, I pray you would take us into where the knowledge of God fills our minds, but it overwhelms our hearts. Where it's life knowledge, it's heart knowledge. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to determine we're going to live radical lives of obedience and gain the deepest, truest history with you that we could ever gain in this life. Where we just know you to be true and we know your word to be true. And with joy, we lay down our lives for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to worship the Lord and then I'll dismiss you at the end. So let's just stay engaged here for a while.
I just want to move your heart.
I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you. I just want to move your heart. I just want to move your heart.
Get caught up in your gaze.
Get caught up in your gaze. Right here in your presence.
God, is where I want to stay.
It's where I want to stay. Oh, just dwell in your house.
Waste my hours.
Waste my hours and my days on you. All on you. My vows, is it a song I sing? Then here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you, yeah. Just tell me what moves you, yes. Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? Then here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you, yes. Just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you, yes. Tell me what moves you. I just wanna move your heart. It's all I wanna do. I just wanna stand. Gaze right here in your presence, God, is where I want to stay. No, just dwell in your house. Waste my hours and my days on you. Oh, for you. Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a light? What moves you? Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? harmony. Tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you is. Tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you is. Tell me what moves you. Is it a fragrance? And I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I'll give my vow. Is it a song I sing? Here's every melody. Tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you.
I want to give an invitation right now. Whatever decision you make in this life is the one that you get to keep for all eternity. So if you choose to follow Jesus as the absolute leader of your life, no other Savior, He's the only one for you. If you choose to make Him the absolute leader of your life, you get to live with the beauty of that decision for all eternity. Meaning, when you die, you just enter into heaven with the Lord. But when we choose to follow ourselves, when we choose to not make Jesus the absolute leader of our life, we say we're going to, you know, hey, I don't hate Him. I just don't, like, I don't want to put those restrictions on myself, you know. Or, you know, God knows I have the soft spot for Him, but you're really living for yourself. You get to live with that choice for all eternity in hell, separated from God. If you choose to be separated from Him in this life, you're choosing to be separated from Him forever. It's not like, oh, when you die, God's like, oh, now I'm going to make the choice for you. No, He lets you make that choice. Chase made the decision a couple weeks ago. He lived enough hell in his life. He said, I'm making a different choice now. I'm going to follow Jesus. And guess what, Chase? You stay with that decision every day of your life, and you're going to get to live with it for all eternity in glory, in perfect beauty with Jesus. But when you reject Him as leader and you die in that rejection, you have just chosen exactly what you got. You get exactly what you wanted, except for it's not what you're going to want when you're there. Separation from God in a burning lake of fire called hell. You weren't created for it. You were created to be with Jesus. You were created for, like, you were created for fellowship with God. You weren't created for hell. Don't choose it. If Jesus were standing up here speaking through a human being, He would say, don't choose that path. I didn't create you for it. But He's not going to take a hold of you and make you do something you don't want to do. You get to love Him or you get to reject Him. You get to choose. I want every eye closed right now. If you are here and you're like, I do not want to choose to lead my own life anymore. I want to choose to make Jesus Christ my one and only leader, the Savior of my life. I'm going to choose right now a choice that I'm going to follow for the rest of my life and into eternity. If that is your choice today, I want you just to lift up your hand. Nobody look around. This is between. Awesome. I see several hands. It's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray this together. I want us to pray it out loud. Pray it loud. Pray it proud. For those that raise their hand, we're going to pray this prayer with you. God knows whether you mean it. But I believe there's some sincere people that raise their hand right now that were like, whoa, I don't want to lead myself into hell. I want to grab a hold of Jesus. So let's pray this together right now. Say, Jesus, I'm grabbing a hold of you. I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you forgave me on the cross. Jesus, I'm turning around. I'm living for you. I'm making you my leader. You get to call the shots. Help me to love you, to live for you. Fill me with your spirit. Give me strength to love you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision like for the first time, or you're coming back, like you're making it for the first time in a long time, let's say you felt like you've been away from the Lord, I just encourage you to just grab a hold of somebody that's near you. Tell them, hey, I made a decision to follow Christ, and I want you to help me, okay? And because that's actually, every believer in here, your number one job is to help make disciples of Christ. Your number one job is to come along aside somebody else and say, hey, let's do this together. Let's learn the word. Let's do this together. All right. God bless you all. Happy graduation day.